Oh my gosh. Bombastic, donne-moi ton boom, boom, boom.
Dave in the house. Dave in the house. It's a surprise Thanksgiving guest visit here from our good friend Dave.
Yeah, yeah, Sparky across the border.
they let the car.
Here I am.
They let him across the border. Did you have to like turn in your high tech Toronto security codes and all? Didn't they used to do that? They wouldn't let you go across the border from America to other countries with. You know, if your laptop or anything had anything above 128-bit encryption on it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Nobody's
yeah.
ever looked at any electronic device I've ever had going back and forth.
Probably not to Canada. I guess we're friendly enough with Canada.
Pretty much, yeah. As far as I know, I haven't heard anything of you. Be careful.
Until we're not, and then look out. Yeah.
It's so good to be back in the studio.
It's awesome to have you.
It was bigger. They expanded a wall or something, didn't they?
No, I think you're as you get older, you get a little smaller. And,
That's what it is.
It's like the reverse, you know, when you're a teenager and you go back to your elementary school.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like sitting at the elementary school desk. Desk.
No, actually, though, we have been doing some upgrades and updates around the studio. Things look pretty good. We've had really good, contribution of not only some resources but also time resources from volunteers and so on, putting effort into the studio, and it's starting to really come together and look nice. We still don't have a Studio A and Studio B. Our Studio B is mothballed at the moment, but...
But the place looks fantastic, and like you said, it's a testament to the volunteer efforts that go on, and the visionary leadership of the patron saint of Lake County Radio, Board President Bish Griffco.
You don't come in here. You don't have to spread the butter on that thick anymore.
I was just getting started.
I will put a quick plug in, though, is that anybody who wants to be part of this love fest,
just
go to WRLR.fm if you're not local and, throw some money at it.
Well, that's one way to be a part of it. You could volunteer here.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're always looking for people.
Yeah. I could use a cup of coffee right now. Volunteer. Go. Somebody stop by. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Yeah, bring us some coffee. If you're coming in, bring us some coffee anyways. Do something for us.
Yeah. I don't drink coffee. It keeps me awake when I'm on the air.
Exactly. Well, man, it's so I don't even know where to start. It's so great to see you. We're going to have Jay Garman on in just a little bit as well. I got to try to connect to him on his cell. So we'll see how that works. Sometimes that works great, sometimes it does not.
Really? Phone problems?
Exactly. Hey, speaking of changes though around the studio, we've been talking the last couple weeks about how we rolled out Microsoft 365 and Office 365, and that's been working out very, very well for those that have kind of reached out to it with open arms and grabbed onto the features and functionalities. And it's awesome is that I... And
how do you reach out with open arms? I'm just saying.
Good point. I don't know. Well, they're falling over backwards with Office 365 and they're open. I don't know. It's been great because it was a perfect timing as Microsoft and Google are in this huge... feature, function, storage, everything battle.
It's a war.
It is.
A war. It's a feature war. It's a storage memory war.
I love it. This is why we need competition. This is why I say down with all those megalithic corps, or at least have two of them that you can access. So Google...
Competition is good.
Yes, competition is a good thing. So Microsoft, I know we talked about last week, increased their storage space from the ridiculous... terabyte per person to the unbelievable unlimited per person, which is fantastic. So I was excited about that. So I couldn't get over that. I mean, a terabyte, if for people that don't know, is just an enormous amount of storage.
It's 1,000 gigs, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
1,000 gigabytes.
Yeah. So, unless you're storing...
How many megabytes? A million megabytes, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's a million...
If you only had a computer or something.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Ain't nobody got the time for that.
We don't care.
I'd have to type stuff
it's
in
a
and
lot.
Things. Yeah, it's a whole
lot.
Trust me, you're never going to use it up unless you're downloading, 2.5 gig movies off of Pirate Bay or something.
My scrapbooking.
Takes up a lot of. Well, I actually, in fact, so storage space is so free. So I do a little side thing. I do is photography. I love to do photography. I do a little bit of sketch work now too. But with the photography, I've been doing it for the our high school marching band and things like this. So it's been great. And I started off like your typical kind of more experienced amateur photographer. Everything's got to convert to JPEG anyway. So what the heck? I'm taking everything in JPEG. I'm not going to bother with anything beyond it on my nice DSLR. Just recently I realized I have so much storage space, there's no need for me to reduce the quality of the images that I'm taking. Forget about it. I'm taking everything in RAW. So I've started taking everything in RAW now, which as opposed to the 2 to 7 or 8 megabyte per picture size, RAW typically is around anywhere from 12 to 20 meg per picture. Now it means that I have to occasionally swap out my flash card that I have in my camera, but the picture quality is better. I have a lot more flexibility for editing it in Photoshop and other tools that I have on Task, and it's a great thing. And that's because storage space is free. So Google storage space, of course, is virtually unlimited, or it's getting there. Office Now has unlimited storage space. They went up from their terabyte. But here's the, and now the next thing happened. This is what I was excited about today. The next thing happened. One of the main differentiators with Google Docs has always been this super seamless, easy collaboration. You get in there. If another editor is on there, you can see that they're there. You can chat back and forth. You can make changes at the same time. Fight for control. You're not fighting for control of the mouse, that kind of thing. Microsoft adding that now to their feature and functionality set as well. That's going to be available.
Isn't that wonderful? Right now, it's Microsoft's the underdog in this fight. So they're like Avis. Mm-hmm. Avis was number two. They tried harder.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So Microsoft's very much trying to get in the game. There's a whole lot of very inexpensive Windows tablets and computers right now out on the market because they're trying to get back in the game. They're trying to hold on to and increase market share.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, that was another thing I had on my list to bring up, another way they're trying to compete. We've talked a lot about the Chromebooks. I love Chromebook. I've got a Chromebook at home. My local school district is doing a one-to-one program with Chromebooks, which is cool too. They're cheap. They're easy to use. They're very functional.
They're easy to administer, too.
Absolutely.
Right, for IT pros.
Yeah. They have a lot of stuff built in for that. For the MDM, it's called the Mobile Device Management Tools. Microsoft now has got competitive pricing for what's being referred to, not by Microsoft but by others, as cheap books. So they're laptops that are running Windows 8 and presumably will eventually run Windows 10. And they're priced very competitively with the lower end of the Chromebooks. So we're talking, between $100 to $200. And they run the full version of Windows. The initial readings and reports that I've seen on them is that they're good. You're not gonna be running Adobe Photoshop and blowing the socks off of anybody with your playing Far Cry, but you can get on the internet just like with your Chromebook. You can go, and of course it's all integrated tightly in with the Microsoft Office environment. So if you or your company are using Office 365, you pick up one of these things, and it's like the Chromebook experience. Everything's just linked in and ready to go.
Yeah, and the one caveat, I mean, Windows 8, I've grown to really like Windows 8. I think it's pretty cool. However, Android's much better suited to smaller screens. Mm. So if one of those cheap books is below 10 inches, don't do it. Don't.
Yeah.
Actually, you should see for yourself. Maybe your eyes are better than mine. Maybe your fingers are smaller than mine. I doubt it. I've got really small fingers. But it's on smaller screens, Windows 8 is kind of tough. Android's better.
Yeah, the ones that I've seen have been 11-inch and 13-inch that I've seen.
Yeah.
I have a Microsoft Surface tablet, which is, like Windows 8, but it's unfortunate. It's not the full-blown Windows 8. It's Surface RT, Windows RT.
Yeah.
And my recommendation is avoid RT if you can also, and I don't know if that's what these are running.
I've seen it both ways. I've seen some running RT or what they call it, Surface 2 now or something. They have a different. They're not. RT is not as prevalent in the marketing, but I've seen very many with full windows on them.
Yeah, which is a lot better. I mean, RT is not terrible, again, for the kind of going on to the internet, doing a couple of quick things and all that, but you are pretty locked into the Microsoft Play Store. I don't know what it's called. Whatever the Microsoft Store for apps is. Mm-hmm. And so I've run into things that have been frustrating for me that would not be a problem on a typical full-blown Windows machine. For example, yes, it's a Microsoft Windows box. I understand that. But I still want to have Gmail installed. A Gmail app to install.
They don't have a Gmail app?
There's no Gmail app. You can't do it. Oh. Now, you can go on, of course, the internet and get it that way.
Or on the desktop, right? Can't you?
Yeah, but you can't install Chrome, and you can't install.
Oh, really?
No. With RT. RT.
I can't understand why Microsoft's in such a
place. I don't.
So you wanted to talk about security as well today, right?
We can talk about security. Absolutely. I think it'd be interesting to talk as well. For some reason, I don't know why this has happened again, is that this big deal about the Facebook security, you know, is changing. So we're all getting these notices about Facebook privacy. Mm-hmm. And Facebook is pumping this out to you. If you're a regular Facebook user, you'll see there's a notice. Our privacy rules are changing. Take a look. January 1st, it's all going to, you know, convert over and all this. One of the changes that's happening is actually, I think, kind of a good one, in that if you go into, the Facebook page of a politician or a political campaign or a political site and like it or follow it, they are not able to access the information like they used to. Right now, if you do that, they can access not only you and your information, but the your friends. They know who your friends are. And so then they can post out that way, and they can expand their reach that way. It's a rather intrusive amount of information that's allowed, in my opinion. But you're also agreeing to give it when you go in and log it in. So, you know, it's one of those. That's changing. They're not going to do that anymore. But there is some cynicism surrounding that it's not really in our interest that they're doing this. What it's going to do is force those political campaign sites to actually pay for the ads and pay for that reach that they're getting right now, essentially for free.
Huh. So they're still going to do it, but they're going to charge for it.
No. They're not going to allow that at all. They're not going to allow them to get your friends' email addresses and friends' information or Facebook pages and friends' information when you go in and follow one of these pages. But what they are going to let them do, of course, is pay Facebook to post ads. And you know how you get ads now that are, hey, Dave Sinaki likes, Mitt Romney or so-and-so, whoever it may be. Dave's like, oh, yeah, sure. Sure, that's
actually,
the ad you'll see.
To tell you the truth, I Mitt Romney's not bad. He's not a bad guy, but but I wouldn't say I'm in love with him. No, yeah.
I met him.
You've met him?
I have.
Really?
I shook his hand. I got his autograph and everything. He has very soft hands. I have to say,
he's not a robot then.
Not as far as I could tell.
He's not an android.
There weren't a lot of calluses on the fingers, tell you that much. But no, you see, I saw him speak. He was at. He was in Vernon Hills at the Vernon Hills public area. I can't remember what the name of it's called by the water park.
The town hall.
Town hall. No, it's not the town hall. It's not the town hall. It's I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whatever the public center is.
But you saw him
the park district center, and right. I did. Yes, and I got to see him speak, and he gave a rousing speech, and there was the typical mix as you would expect of supporters, but also too at the same time protesters as well. It was one of those that was done on very short notice. There wasn't a lot of information put out about it. I happened to be on the list because of the radio connection. So they sent me an email the day of and said, hey, if you want to see Mitt Romney speak, get here and whenever. It happened to be in Vernon Hills. This was in the summertime. It was close enough that I was actually able to bike there, which was fantastic because, of course, they had all the streets locked down. And
that's good. Yeah, I get through the Secret Service.
Yeah. I was not.
And they let you through. Yeah.
They did. They checked me out. I found that one of the most fascinating parts talking about security here. I know we're getting a little off the topic, but what I found.
Oh no!
One of the most.
Let's talk about bikes.
No, but what I found most interesting was watching the Secret Service in action and how they.
There we are. Oh, security. We're back to security.
That's
there
what I'm saying. See, that was my segue. Now we're going to talk about segues. Right, to bring it all the way back down, though. So here's the thing. So with Facebook.
HD radio.
Yes, that's right. ADHD radio.
It's not just HD radio. It's ADHD.
Yes, with an emphasis on the AD part of that. But the interesting thing is, so now you're seeing again people posting on their Facebook pages all of these, and there's a whole copy paste thing. Due to the fact that Facebook has chosen to involve software, pursuant to articles L.111, and nobody that's posting this stuff, is actually reading it, actually looking into what it is. Here's my geek trivia, or not trivia, my geek tip for the day, your computer tip for the day. Any piece of information that you get on the internet doesn't mean it's false, doesn't mean it's not true, but you owe it to yourself and to your friends to do this. Type in whatever the header of it is or the most important words into Google and follow it up with site:snopes.com. S-N-O-P-E-S.com.
Okay, now is Snopes still as reputable as it once was?
Yeah. As far as I know.
Snopes.com, by the way, is your friend.
Yes. It's your anti-hoax friend.
It's your friend. First of all, I think Facebook needs to come up with a test before you can join.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm serious. You need to be licensed before you can get onto Facebook.
Oh, man.
Just because you get, first of all, these chain letter emails that you get.
Yes.
Guess what? The information is often wrong, and sometimes there's malware involved with those letters. And then the sites that they send you to, trust me, Snopes. Go to Snopes first, Snopes.com, or at least do a search, as Michael says. Get some keywords from the communication and Google it and see what's going on before you make a fool out of yourself on Facebook or Twitter or in your blog or wherever you're posting. There's so much fake information out there, misleading information.
Yeah.
It'll drive you crazy.
And sometimes the reasons why people are posting fake information is, somewhat inscrutable. But it turns out that there are a lot of these, they call them like farms. So there's pages that are created that put out either heart-tugging pictures, things like, if this guy gets 1,000 likes, he'll get a free new heart. Please, if you support our veterans, share this page.
Yeah, if you really read my post, you'll share this.
So the pages that create those, that get shared out in all this, the reason why they do that, there's an actual reason, and it's as cynical as you can be about it. It is what it is. They put out pictures of kids that are in stress, of people that need hearts, whatever it is. So that you like it and you'll follow it. And then what happens is, after they get enough likes and follows, then they start pumping ads at you that connect you to malware sites and that also to get, it's, clickbait is what it is.
Yeah.
And how have they done that? Because 10,000 people said, oh, yeah, I support veterans. I'm going to share with my friends. You should know about this cat. And
also, there's... I'm surprised we have not talked about it that much. The rise in malware clicks is and even legitimate sites, screening is not being done very well. Even legitimate sites, you can click on something and wind up with something nasty on your computer fairly easily these days. It's been much more prevalent than it was three years ago.
Well, and we were talking about this just before the show too. Mother and father came into town, which was great, although I know whenever my mom comes in with extra
they come in to see somebody
bags.
Else.
Well, really, they did. They came in to see the grandkids, but I happened to be there, so and they needed some tech support. Usually my mom needs some tech support.
Yeah, that's probably the real reason.
Yeah, exactly. I need to start...
Bring the computer.
I need to start charging for this stuff. But they, yeah, so my mom comes in, and she's like, you know, my computer's running a little slow, and I don't know why anymore. So
I bet that's a lot of how your mom sounds.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much how you sound.
Yeah. That's about it. And, so, you know, so I take a look at it. Sure enough, it's just, it's riddled with malware and browser toolbars. And
was it so bad that you pulled her off your network right away?
It wasn't quite that bad.
That's when it's bad. When you're like, holy man, shut off the Wi-Fi. Oh, man, get this sucker. And then you don't worry about their computer. You're like, you check yours. Right
exactly. Yeah, no, it wasn't quite that bad, fortunately. So was one thing I was gonna touch base on here for people is a couple of quick things that you can do for someone whose computer is having problems. So
tell us, Michael. No. Like we're sitting around you in a circle like story time with the library.
Oh
tell
yes,
us, please.
Oh yes.
No, I really want to know. I really do.
Yeah. So there are some quick and easy things that you can do. I mean, you know, if you go to websites that talk about this, they'll give you a dozen different things. I'm not going to give you a dozen. I'm going to tell you, like, you know, five things you can do right now, fairly quickly, anyways, that'll really help clear out a lot of this stuff. The first thing is go into, you know, I would say put in Revo on installer, and that's Revo on installer. It's a step up from the typical and this is all Windows.
And is there a safe place that's free, I'm guessing, right?
That is free.
Is there a safe place to download it?
Yes.
Well, watch out for the download buttons that are not the right download buttons.
Yeah, no, I'll put links to all of these on the website. Yeah. But you go to RevoUninstaller.com. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And it's basically like your control panel software uninstaller, but it's better. It actually goes through your registry.
The registry.
It clears everything out. It makes sure that nothing's left in the startup, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it clears that out. So start with that. See what you can get rid of.
Great tip.
Some things you can't get rid of and are difficult because they're malware or viruses that are designed to keep you from getting rid of them. Oh, yeah.
iLivid. Did you ever get iLivid on your?
No. Oh, no, I haven't had that one.
I don't want to sidetrack you. iLivid. Oh, it's nasty.
Mm, it makes you livid, I guess.
It worked for me.
So once you get that done, then throw on Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes has a free thing as well. Malwarebytes.com. Put that in there. Run a scan. It's going to find probably, you know, even a regularly or well-kept machine is probably going to have at least a couple of questionable cookies and other things in there that you can get rid of. So wipe those out and throw those away.
Yeah.
Get
that malware.
My new favorite free antivirus software. It used to be AVG.
We need music for this. Michael's new favorite free antivirus software.
There you go. I used to be and I still am a huge fan of AVG. AVG is a great product. I like that.
Best thing about AVG is low resource.
Yes. Yes. Very minimal. Yeah. The thing that I've not liked about AVG recently is that it's pushing more ads at you and trying to upsell you. They want you to upsell
you. And also, in tests, they're not really in the top three or five anymore.
Not anymore. So I've switched now to Komodo. Comodo.
That's such a cool name.
Yeah, like the Komodo dragon.
Komodo my malware.
Yeah, is that because of the reference to commode? Maybe it just throws it in the toilet. I don't know.
Yeah, cool.
Because it's Komodo, but it's not it's not spelled Komodo like Komodo dragon, like with a K. It's with a C. But so Komodo has a whole suite of products as well, just like AVG. But the ones that I would grab are the antivirus and the firewall piece. They have two that you can put in. It will give you real-time protection, also let you do a quick scan of the system again, make sure you've cleared out everything that you need to, set up the firewall to be as unintrusive as you possibly can, especially if you're helping someone else out because you don't want to get that call the next day. You know, I'm trying to get to my favorite site and it's doing this and that. Yeah. But the other thing it does, which is really cool, is it automatically for you, it will ask you, would you like to change your DNS settings to go to the Komodo approved DNS servers. So Komodo will configure your Windows machine to automatically go to a DNS, which is the naming service, to make sure that you don't get sent to
rerouted
a malware site.
To a bad neighborhood.
Exactly. Yeah. Like one of those, we were talking about those clickbaits, you know, yeah, where you click on something and it goes to a website that you think is fine, but it's not.
That you can't close fast enough.
Yeah. And so it'll stop that from happening. Not always, but it'll give you an extra chance. You don't have to use the Komodo DNS servers. I like OpenDNS servers. We had David Ulovich, the founder of that, on a couple of years ago, and ever since then, I've been a big fan of that. I love that. The other things that I would say to throw on, the one last thing I would say when you're done with all of that, and if you've made changes to DNS, that's fantastic too, is install, and we also had representatives on from this company as well, but it's also free, is AdBlock Plus. And AdBlock Plus stops all those pop-ups and other ads from coming in on the side that will take you to the bad places.
Frequently, often, not good.
Yeah.
So, okay, it's not really a controversy, but what is more antivirus software better or worse? Is it? I've heard people say run two or three programs. I've heard people say don't do that because they trip over each other. They're in each other's way. What's your take on it? What's your
I think it's a mistake to try to run two or three at the same time. I would, however, say you could absolutely have ABG, Komodo, you know, and two or three other ones, whatever you want on there. Only having one doing real-time catch because of the resource issues,
right.
But then turning individual ones off and just doing scans, you know, that doesn't hurt. You know, there's like, it's just the same thing with the malware. You know, so you got malware bytes, but there's also Hijack. Hijack Me, I think, is the other one that that I've used in the past, and a couple others that you can access. They all approach the problem in slightly different ways. They all have slightly different databases of you know, known threats and heuristics that they apply to unknown threats. So,
what kind of heuristics?
Heuristics. Hey, we should give, speaking of heuristics, we should give somebody who actually knows the meaning of the name or the word call here, or can pronounce it anyways better than me.
Our go-to Mr.
Know-It-All. Let's see if we can pull
everything about everything.
Friend Jay Garman.
Yeah, can't wait to hear from Jay. And everything. That's about half the battle right there. We have a ring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He may have given up on us already. It's later than we normally call him.
Yeah.
And I know he's out and about.
Maybe he's doing something valuable, actually.
Recovering from his Thanksgiving food coma, probably. Or maybe, you know,
coma?
Getting.
You think he's in a coma?
You've reached.
Yeah, all right. We'll try Jay again in a few minutes. Maybe
we should have just done the whole show on his voicemail.
Yeah. That'll teach him. He's out getting pummeled for a TV at Best Buy. Or no, wait, it wasn't Best Buy this year. It was Walmart, right? Where the people got pummeled again?
It's usually Walmart, right?
Yeah, Walmart, and also in England. There was video from London, people getting pummeled for TVs. I guess Black Friday's in London, too, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of another, so here's a good thing for Snopes again. So also going around on the internet now about Black Friday is this completely false, totally made up story about how Black Friday is called that because of the slavery days. And that it was about selling slaves.
You have to laugh.
I haven't
seen that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, I've got friends posting that around. And, you know, obviously at this moment, race relations are a little tense in some places. Like they haven't been. But
I'm on vacation. You know, our first stop was Buffalo. Then we went to Ferguson. Then we came here, right?
Did you? Did you really? You went through Ferguson? I was just saying, wow.
Michael. Right. Check it out. Snopes.
All right. But there you go with Snopes. I had friends posting this, and again, I did exactly. I'm going to put this tip. This is actually going to be in the podcast notes for the week here. If you miss this, how to do this is you can search on a site specifically on a Google search just by putting the words site colon and then the site. So again, I would recommend Black Friday. site:snopes.org or snopes.com. I can't remember which one it is. And there you go. And it'll pop up. It'll be the first one that pops up. It's a fantastic way. So pay attention to what's happening on Facebook enough to know what's junk on Facebook. is the bottom line.
Hey, how about a total change of subject?
Yeah, let's do it.
What? So you play video games, right?
I occasionally, yes.
Does it get boring sometimes?
Sometimes it does.
Plus, they're trying to make it more interesting.
Okay.
According to Engadget, there's a new controller out, a new game controller out, that when, you, let's say you're having a battle on the screen or whatever, if you're injured in the battle, it'll draw your blood.
It'll poke you? It'll like poke
yeah,
you
it'll
in the
poke you, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great for diabetics because
oh my
you
gosh.
Can get, you know, you can get your blood sugar checked at the same time. Right?
Does it have a limit on how much blood it'll take from you?
So, you know,
people well, actually die. I mean, I'm terrible. I could lose a lot of blood.
Bloodsport is a crowdfunded project. It's not there yet. It's a crowdfunded.
Okay,
you know, so you
okay.
can actually contribute. You know, you can help financially support this and make it happen if you want. But it limits blood transfers based on your age, medical condition, and weight.
Oh, my gosh.
So you won't pass out just because your gaming skills aren't up to snuff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because you'd start getting worse instead of better at a certain point. You know, you'd lose enough blood, you'd be lightheaded.
Yeah.
And
a fee, you can get into a live Battlefield Hardline test run in Toronto on March 17th. And for a little more, you could get a single-player version that works weeks in advance. But so you can play with your friends. You can play a game with your friends. And then when you win, you can, you know, they'll be bloody, or when they win, you'll have blood on your
See,
hands.
Well, why the blood? Why not just like a little contact pad and you know, a little shock?
Shock would be good.
Yeah, I think I'd go for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Or like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You could. Yeah. That would be good.
In fact, so maybe I should crowdfund this here. You know, take the idea. I'll take it one step further. Put contact pads in major parts of your body. You know, and so you get hit in the chest. The guy knifes you. You know, you get zapped right there on the. You know, and of course someone's going to die from that. But
heart
attack. I don't know.
You kill off your buddy.
Yeah, no, I'd be the first. I'd be the first one down.
Yeah.
I haven't played Twitch games in so long. I wouldn't be any good at that anymore.
Oh, speaking of which, you talked about developing an app, right?
I
want to develop an app. Okay, I've got an idea for an app, and I'm going to share it with you live on air.
Oh.
But for the record, I want to. We have to have an agreement that it's 50-50.
All right.
Now, whatever billions we make off of this app.
I can't wait. You're confident. I can't wait to hear this app.
Okay,
absolutely.
Here's the app. It's not a complicated app either.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly simple. But here's what it is. You know how they hold the Olympic cards up when you're, you know, when for a performance?
Like yes.
Gymnastics or whatever, they hold up a card, 8.8, 9.5, depending on how good the performance is.
Yes.
Right? I think we could put that on a phone, and we could do it for family drama. If you have somebody, and see, then that changes the way we look at drama. We all of our families have drama kings and queens, and they can really throw a blanket on a celebration. So this could change the outlook of everybody involved.
So
everybody gets out their phone. Depending on how good the drama is, they can hold
I see.
Of you know a 10.0 would be a very good. Boy, 10.0 would be a very good score.
Yeah.
You know, very high score for excellent family drama.
And you'd have to have a back end, you know, in the cloud of this, calculating, tabulating the scores and keeping the data and all
family's
that.
Family's got the better.
Yeah. Well, and just even within the family, you know, to say, hey, mom, you've got.
Yours is only a 6.6.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, the Smiths down the road, they're doing much better on it.
Yeah.
Mom, you're going to have to pick up your game.
Yeah. But our aunt is doing
or
great.
Or bribe the judges to score you higher.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that works too. That works too.
I thought that would be really, you know, we just finished Thanksgiving, so it had.
I like it. I'll make a note, and if nobody listening steals it from us, then we'll.
it's a stealable idea.
We'll put that in place. Well, speaking of stealable ideas and things, you know, of course, everybody's talking about Black Friday. We're just talking about pummeling and all that.
And getting trampled.
Yeah. So no one's going to get trampled for this. But this is cool. This is cool. I'm very excited about this. I recently, and I was just showing off to Dave. He hadn't actually seen it in the flesh. My Linux box that's got the solid state drive in it.
He's hauling around, ladies and gentlemen. You know, here it's the age of the mini tablet, the iPad Air 2, portable, ultra light, slim, portable computing. Kassler's carrying around like something from 1987.
Not quite that bad.
What is it, a 17-inch?
No. It's 14 and a half, I think. 14-something. I don't know. 15, maybe 15, 16, 16.6 at the smallest. Yeah.
But by today's standards, this thing looks huge.
Yeah.
That he's, it's a Sony Vaio, right? That
yes, it is.
You converted to Linux.
Yeah, well,
very,
I think, yeah, I think.
Very cool. I'm giving you a hard time, but I've got tons of geek envy about it. It's very
well,
nice.
I think when I got it, in fact, I think it was a Vista machine, possibly. And I upgraded it at one point to Windows 7, and then it just completely died. And so then I went out and I bought a solid state drive and put in a solid straight. Originally, I threw
a solid straight drive.
It's
supposed to a bi drive.
It's SysTech now. I don't know, but it. So originally I threw Chromium on it. I got really sick of Chromium, and we got our Chromebook, so I was happy with that. But
Google's glad to hear you say that on air.
You don't want to go with Chromium. It's good to test it out, but it's not a permanent solution.
So you run a Linux off of a SNIC on this or no?
A solid state drive. It's actually built it right in. So what I did is I went on and I searched around. I got a good deal on, I think it's only 20 gig. It's like a 20, 25 gig solid state drive. But that's enough. That's enough. That's all I need. I'm doing everything practically in the cloud anyways. And so I've got enough space for the operating system, some documents, movies occasionally when I download them, and also too to play, put Wine on. So Wine lets you do, it's a Windows emulator, so I can do Hearthstone, for example.
Good that you cleared that up. You don't want to put, we don't want our listeners putting Wine on.
Yeah, don't pour Wine on, even if it is a Linux Mint box. Not good.
That's a waste of Wine.
Yeah. So right, when I bought my solid state, though, one of the reasons I got the solid state drive, as small as it was, 2025 gig, was because, of course, it was because I'm a cheapskate, because it was cheap. It was cheap to buy it that way. This, they're saying, is going to be the thing that is going to change its pricing the most after this Black Friday, is solid-state storage drive prices are just going to crash. They're going to tumble. I shouldn't use computers. They're going to tumble. They're going to tumble.
they're going to fall.
They're going to be
they're
available.
They're going to decrease.
Yes, decrease.
How about decrease?
Dramatically.
Fall, tumble, drown. We don't want to hear any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's great news. Who doesn't love solid state storage?
Yeah, so they're expecting.
And maybe they're competing with Microsoft and Google, for as well. If they're offering free storage and Microsoft and Google are offering free storage, then the drive makers are going to have to make some adjustments.
Yeah, exactly. You can get now, so it's SanDisk. You can get a SanDisk Ultra 2 SSD, 240 gig. I'm not going to give you the exact price, but it's less than $100. You can get it for less than $100.
I love
it. 35 to cents or so per for gig. So you can get a 500 gig or a terabyte drive for a lot of money. And solid state, I got to tell you.
I'm still waiting for a terabyte micro SD myself. I just
I think they have one. Weren't they working on one?
Well, all you can get now is like 128.
Yeah.
I can't 128 gigs, but
yeah, I think that's what I've got for my camera is 128.
If Microsoft's giving us unlimited,
unlimited.
Where's the echo? Where's the echo?
Yeah. We need to add that on
unlimited
here.
Storage on the internet.
That's it. Yeah. So I was very excited. That's the only really exciting Black Friday kind of.
Oh.
Update I had.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it then.
I don't know.
How much more show do we have?
Oh boy. Oh, we got a little bit to fill here. No, I got more stuff to talk about.
What about cool sites?
I've got some cool sites too, and all that. But before we get to the cool sites, I guess there was one thing I wanted to mention that I just thought was cool. You were talking about the video game controller being a cool thing. We've had Apple Pay discussions. You can walk in. I've actually now had the opportunity to use. I used Google Wallet to pay with my phone in a subway. So I was happy about that. I was like, wow. Hey, look, there's that symbol.
You pulled out your wallet in the subway. Your phone.
And zip, and I paid for my sandwich, and I walked away.
Well, he bought a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the Subway, not a Subway station, at the Subway sandwich store. That's where I was. So these stores now, they're becoming more and more high-tech. Pizza Hut, man. They're joining
they've got an app, don't
the
they?
22nd they have, century. Well, they do. They have that. But also, too, now, when you go in to a Pizza Hut and want to order your pizza, they've developed what they're calling it a subconscious menu. And you order your perfect pizza. You don't have to tell it what you're ordering. It knows where you're looking on the screen. And so what toppings excite you the most and just picks them for
what
you.
What toppings excite you the most?
Apparently. It's a digital menu. It features 20 key pizza toppings, such as chicken and peppers.
Yeah.
And in just 2.5 seconds, after the customers are looking at the screens, the computer records what ingredients you've been looking at for the longest. And then it uses a proprietary algorithm to identify from the 4,896 possible ingredient combinations the perfect pizza based on
your... An attractive woman walks in and that pizza's going to look pretty funny.
Yeah. Just going to be cheese. Just cheese.
Just cheese.
Yeah, he didn't bother looking at the screen. Yeah. But they claim
that's scary technology, though. I mean, if that's first of all, I think it's great. Somebody's developed. It's very exciting and like that. But from now on, let's say that gets ubiquitous and it's everywhere, right? You just walk into places and look at stuff, and suddenly you bought it. I mean,
yeah. Hopefully, you don't have your phone out at the time because you'll be charged for it right there. Yeah. Now they say the pizza claims that they're testing has been 98% successful so far on getting what people want.
Yeah.
And, of course, too, if you're not pleased with your computer choice, you can always start again. So, and this is coming from Catherine Austin, who's the head of marketing at Pizza Hut, via the Telegraph, actually.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't know about you. Sometimes I have trouble making up my mind about what toppings. You know, I'd like shrimp. Oh, and I'd like pineapple, too.
Yeah. Well, that's a fantastic combination on a pizza.
Is it really?
Oh, absolutely.
Shrimp and pineapple?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You can even throw a little bit of barbecue with that, and you're good. Yeah, very good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with pizza. No question about it.
It's a blank palette.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It really is. And now you won't even have to make a decision. It'll know. You'll be looking at the shrimp. You'll be looking at the pineapple going, gosh, I like both of those, but they don't sound like they go together. And
you know what my biggest problem with making pizza at home is that I can't stop with toppings. So it's way too thick, way too heavy, and it doesn't cook properly, evenly, and all that.
Yeah.
So I'd have the same problem with Pizza Hut, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the 3D printers, right, while you're
print that pizza out. Everything's made out of tofu, but it's printed in the shape of the thing you want.
It's tofu,
yeah. Actually, I should maybe interest of full disclosure. I mean, I'm really having problems today with my tongue and lips. It's all that turkey, I guess. But I did actually at one point in my long and storied career work at Pizza Hut. I was a driver, and
you say that like you were a man of the cloth or something.
I was
a minister.
Yeah, well,
a minister of pizza.
As other drivers out there listening know, it is. There's a sacred trust that you're given.
Is there like an ethics code? And
You go through a lot more processing when you're a driver, making sure that you're going to uphold the, you know, the pizza code,
and the box. Honor the box,
and you don't mix with the regular folk. You know, the other workers that are actually putting pies together and all that.
Do they
in
the store, or do they hand you the pizzas out the door?
No. We get to come in through the back. At least back in the day. And the one perk we got, a great perk, was at the end of our shift, you could make yourself any kind of personal size pizza you wanted to. And so I started off with the same issues you had, where you just like, oh, man, I want some sausage, and I want this, and I want that, and he just piles up, and all of a sudden you've got this mound.
I've had the same problem at Chipotle, by the way. I've had, you know, you can't get it in the bag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. But then you learn after a little while to how to put it together.
I can't stop.
No,
I can't stop more. I want more on my pizza. Oh man.
Well, you know, and they've got, of course, you know, that's where I think is going to be cool is when Uber and all these other companies kind of get together with the pizza delivery companies and with the Google Auto driving, and so you order your pizza and. Well, maybe it comes by drone. Maybe drone's better. I don't know.
Speaking of that, hasn't Uber had a problem? Is it Nevada?
Nevada has said no more Uber. Yeah. They're done with Uber.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Prostitution's okay in Nevada. Was it Nevada or Utah?
No, it was Nevada. It was
so
Nevada.
Prostitution's okay in Nevada, yeah. But ride sharing is not.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. There's too much risk. There's too much risk with ride sharing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
prostitution, yeah. You're fine, but the ride sharing, yeah. So it doesn't work. But the there has been a lot of issues with Uber lately. Of course, we know about how they went after supposedly a journalist. They're actually one of the lead people at Uber had used the data that had been collected about riders and drivers to track a journalist who they didn't like,
yeah.
And then had made the comment that, you know, they should dox journalists just like everybody else, you know, or like others are, and start attacking journalists who are attacking these public figures, and caused a huge roar on Twitter and everywhere else.
Wow, yeah. So. They're not doing themselves much good there.
No, well.
That's the key to popularity, attacking the press.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is a common innovator's dilemma. It's too bad we don't have Jay on here with us now. I think is that you have a certain type of personality that's required in order to really create a company like Uber and make it move as quickly as it has really create that excitement and the forward motion of it to being so hard rolling. But that type of personality is not necessarily the best type of personality to keep things going on an even keel once it's there.
You mean visionary leaders are not always the best day-to-day managers?
Exactly. Something like that. So is it shocking that the leadership of Uber would all of a sudden be stepping on themselves with their very aggressive and self-absorbed personalities? I don't think so.
It takes it's a transition that's important.
And that, of course, was all in New York, where they are seeing quite a bit of new innovation. And one of the coolest things happening out there, I thought this was awesome. In the five boroughs, all five boroughs of New York City, they've got all these unused payphone booths, and so they're going to convert them to provide free, super fast, like gigabit speed Wi-Fi for the entire city.
In phone booths?
In phone booths, yeah. You won't have to be in a phone booth. It's just going to be available. They're just taking the phone booths and making them into Wi-Fi stations, Wi-Fi hubs.
You don't have to go to the phone booth?
You just have to be nearby it.
Wi-Fi, so they're going to put Wi-Fi in phone booths.
Yeah.
The gigabit.
Yeah, gigabit,
yeah.
Gigabit.
And what did I read in Austin, Texas? Google's got their gigabit fiber optic going on there, and it's the prices are in the $70 price range, I think.
Oh, I had not heard about this. No. That's very reasonable.
I thought I read something.
For gigabit, that's insanely reasonable, you know? That is something back to the competitive thing. You got to have competition on this stuff, I think. It's, competition you got, the better those prices are going to be and the better the service is going to be.
Yeah.
And
too bad that the telecommunications business doesn't work that way.
Well, exactly. Exactly right. All right. So let's see. Wait a second. We've got
cable companies, which are virtually the same thing now, right?
Aren't they all owned by the same guy anyways?
I don't know. Might as well be.
I don't think you can tell anymore.
Yeah.
But we do have to. That's right. Now, I do have one I want to start with. Speaking of competition, maybe a bad one to start with. Especially we got our station owner in the building here too.
Oh, I noticed you sat more upright when he walked in.
Strained out my shirt. You know, I don't think we're on video anymore, right? We're off the video, so that's okay. Nobody can see what I'm doing on air anymore. But But I love, this has always been one of my favorite places to go for streaming internet radio music and stuff is Radio Paradise. And the thing of it was, though, is so I use...
You mean when you're not listening to WRLR, which is never, almost.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, most, if I'm not listening to WRLR, this is the only other thing that I listen to. And actually, I would listen to it typically with Winamp is a great place to get streaming internet radio stations as well. So
I thought Winamp was down.
No.
You can still get it, but they're not further
developing it. And the Android app you can still get, which is what I use. And so it really gives you access to all the Shoutcast stations out there, of which we were one. I think I don't use it anymore to listen to. I use TuneIn now to listen to WRLR, so I don't know if we're still a Shoutcast. I don't think that we are.
Yeah.
But if you have Shoutcast stations, why not? But anyways, all that aside, Radio Paradise is specifically focused.
RadioParadise.com?
Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe not, though. They're also a free charitable type organization. All this stuff. They're not in it to be making tons of money, but they are very, very focused on just the music. They just bring you the best music of any era that they can. It's great stuff. I love it. Up to now, they have an app, too, that they designed and developed. Their app has not been that great. It's just been okay. It's not been great, but I've preferred accessing it via other tools. They just updated their app. It's fantastic. It's great. I can't recommend it enough. I want us to have this app for WRLR.
Cool.
It's that good. It not only has easy and consistent streaming quality, but also too tons of song information, including the lyrics. There's a little tab you can click over, and you can see the lyrics for the song that you're listening to. And of course, works beautifully through Bluetooth. You can configure for the listening quality and streaming ability that you have, and all that. And so that's my main cool site of the week. I have another one too. Do you have any cool sites of the week though?
No, but does WRLR have an app yet for just getting a no?
Nah, not
doesn't
for us specifically.
Doesn't Marengo Radio have that already? I think.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's above my pay grade.
Bitch's just in the other room. And
yeah, I know. Yeah, we should probably have video too, like the the other kinds. And I know there's a lot of different apps that you can create. I think though it's tough. There's not a lot of incentive for someone to get an app for one specific station or thing. This is one of the few that I've seen that was like, oh, now I know why I want an app just for this thing. Otherwise, I would use Winamp or TuneIn. I love TuneIn because I can flip. If WRLR is playing something that I'm not that excited about that day, I flip around.
That never happens.
Well, not to me, but I understand. Other people have different tastes, and they want to move around. So I'll move on, though, before we shoot ourselves more in the foot. I'm going to move on. This is a very cool site of the week. HabitRPG.com. I love this. This is so cool. I'm always looking for ways to convince myself, to fool myself into being a better person. or getting things done better, getting more things done.
Or the illusion thereof.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So HabitRPG.com, this is, again, this is free to sign up and so on. It's basically you set up what your habits or your to-do list is and all this, and as you go every day through these, you track and let it know that you accomplished something or you followed on your, I didn't smoke again today. So you click a link on it. Every time that happens, you get rewarded in this kind of Pokemon-esque sort of looking, role-playing game environment, and you can level up, and you can get new backgrounds and tools and things like this, or you can
so
even assign your own
game,
rewards.
Where your behavior is the currency of the game.
Exactly,
wow.
Exactly. Good for kids, too. And you can even assign your own rewards. So you can say, hey, once I get, 500 gold, my reward is going to be, I'm going to buy one of those new tablets you were telling me about,
Shield,
the NVIDIA Shield tablets.
NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Yeah, Yeah, so I think you might want to wait. It's, you know, 500 gold in-game probably is not enough, because that's about how much it costs in real life. It's going to cost you 500 gold anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was those are my two cool sites of the week. This week was HabitRPG.com, and then also, too, that Radio Paradise, their new app, which I'll give a link to the app, not to the Radio Paradise site.
Yeah. So we're running out of time.
We are. Rob Chat First is going to be coming in here. I don't know what he's talking about today. I was bugging him. I know that there's been a lot of new updates in the Ebola scene with the Ebola viruses, vaccines, actually making some headway and things like that. But I'm not sure what he's going to.
It's going to be great to hear about that.
Absolutely. I also will have a podcast-only song of the week, but it's truly podcast-only because I don't have anything queued up. So you're just going to have to wait till I get home and what hits me at the moment when I get home.
Anyway, it was great being here live in the studio with you.
Oh, my gosh.
I should drive in every week for this.
I agree. It's not too bad of a commute, right, if you only do it once a week?
Only about 10 hours each way.
Weather's supposed to be nice next week, isn't it?
I think we have our producer out in the producer's window is giving us some signals.
Uh-oh. Oh, you see, we need to wrap it up. Wrap it up, guys. All right. Hey, I am going to leave you with some spots and IDs and all sorts of good stuff. I want to remind you again, though, this is a fully volunteer operation, and we love to have volunteers both time.
We're worth what we're paid. Double.
Hey, we're worth double. You know, so go to WRLR.com and take a look, or .fm, and take a look at that, and you can find ways to be involved. And, man, shouts out, Dave. This is awesome having
you
here.
Love you guys. See you next time.
Have a great week, everyone, and do not go away. Got too much stuff going on. All right. Take care. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
See you in a bit.
You're listening to.
This year for Christmas, there's something I'd really like. So if you're up there somewhere, Santa, please don't bring me another bike. I don't need any ugly sweaters, and I don't play much basketball. But there's something kind of special that I want most of all. I want an alien for Christmas. Bring me an alien this year. I want a little green guy about 3 feet high with 17 eyes who knows how to fly. I want an alien for Christmas this year. He can live in the bathtub, so don't worry about a thing. Take him out for walks when it gets nicer in the spring. I'll always keep him company, he'll never be alone. And we can hang around the house all day and watch the twilight zone. I want an alien for Christmas, bring me an alien this year. I want a little green guy about 3 feet high with 17 eyes who knows how to fly. I want an alien for Christmas this year.